anyone who wants health coverage under the Affordable Care Act, it's time. The 2019 enrollment period for the ACA runs until December 15th. It has been 5 years now since the ACA was rolled out. Let's talk about what the law known as Obamacare has meant here in Michigan as we welcome Richard Hirth. He's professor and chair of the Department of Health Management and Policy at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. Dr. Hirth, good to have you with us.
Thank you.
So, great big broad question to start out. How have you seen the Affordable Care Act affect public health in our state?
It certainly has increased access to care, particularly through the Healthy Michigan program, which was Michigan's Medicaid expansion. There we have about 700,000 enrollees, so that's about 7% of the population of the state right there, plus another 300,000 or so through what's known as the Obamacare exchanges. So about a 10% of the population roughly has gained coverage. It's also improved the financial position of our hospitals as the amount of uncompensated care has gone down pretty dramatically.
How does that compare, this level of coverage, with where you expected when this all began 5 years ago?
Well, it turns out it's not that different than what would have been expected. And the reason for that is Michigan was one of the states that did take up the Medicaid expansion once it became optional after the Supreme Court 2012 decision. So if we look nationally, the decrease in the uninsurance rate has not been as big as projected. But a big part of that difference is that a lot of large states, particularly like Texas and Florida, that have very large uninsured populations that would have qualified for Medicaid expansion, didn't take up. Kind of a secondary factor is that the mandate and the tax penalties that were implemented with it for people who didn't have coverage didn't end up being quite as effective as projected. And that would have affected Michigan as well. So I think that's one area where some of the projections didn't quite come to pass because it was expected that the tax penalty would be a little bit more motivating in getting coverage. And there was still a pretty substantial number of people, particularly younger, healthier people, who said, you know what, I'll just pay the penalty because that's a lot cheaper than buying coverage.
That big debate in 2013 about whether to expand Medicaid, that argument against it was going to be a financial burden that the state could not afford. How do you assess that argument now with 5 years of data to look at?
I'd say that argument really didn't hold a lot of water, partly because the federal share of the expansion was 90%, even going forward when fully implemented. It started at 100%. And then there are two other factors. One, it brings in then a lot of money to, say, Michigan hospitals and providers. And the second is that some of the people who were on the expansion kind of got taken off other parts of the Medicaid program and saved the state some money in that regard, where the state share is much higher than the share under the Obamacare expansion.
So knowing that in 2020, those federal subsidies for the Medicaid expansion, as you mentioned, will decrease to 90%, states are supposed to pick up the remaining 10%. How much should we worry about that becoming a serious fiscal problem?
I'd say as long as it stays at 90%, I wouldn't be too concerned, both because of the federal dollars coming in and because of the ability to move people off other parts of the Medicaid program where our state share is more like 40% than 10%. The main concern would be that with policy, you always have the uncertainty of policy can be rewritten. And what if there's new legislation that turns the 90 into 80 or 70 or to the standard Medicaid match? So I'd say that's where there might be a fiscal concern for the state.
Where and how do you think the Affordable Care Act has fallen short in Michigan?
I'd say one of the biggest problems with the act is the subsidies for buying insurance sort of run out at 400% of the federal poverty line. Now, that's not a trivial amount of income. That's about $48,000, I believe, for an individual and about double that for a family. But if you look at how expensive individual health insurance is, if you're just above that level where the subsidies end, it is a pretty significant hit. And you know, essentially, the plan was to try to get as many people covered for as little federal money as possible so that the bill itself could kind of have a sort of neutral budgetary impact on the federal government. You know, and the way to do that is twofold. The Medicaid expansion is relatively cheap per person covered, both because the people that you're bringing in were, you know, relatively healthy compared to the people that were sort of categorically eligible for Medicaid. And provider payments are pretty low in the Medicaid program so that the cost per capita is not that high. and then running the subsidies out kind of limited the expenditure for the people coming in through the exchanges. So in that regard, they got as many people as they could within a sort of fixed budget. But then there are the folks who are sort of just at the, you know, near the threshold where the subsidies run out, that if they do want to buy their coverage, if they don't get it through an employer and they do want to buy the coverage themselves, face a very hefty bill.
We're in the middle of the enrollment period, the sixth go-round for the healthcare.gov marketplace. What will you be watching most closely?
What I'd like to see is the total enrollment. If you look at the marketplace in the first 5 years, it kind of peaked in the middle year, in year three. So Michigan's enrollment went up from 14 to 15, 15 to 16, and then it went down 16 to 17 and 17 to 18. There are a couple factors that drove that, especially the 17 to 18 decrease, when the Trump administration stopped the payments for something known as the cost-sharing reduction subsidies. Insurers kind of were still required to offer these subsidies to their enrollees who qualified, but they no longer were paid the cost of providing them. Basically, it's reducing the deductibles and co-payments for people under 250% of the federal poverty line. And they still have to do that, but they're no longer paid for it. So there was a big bump in rates, kind of over 25% on average last year. Those people who got generous subsidies under the act really weren't affected. Their subsidy went up to make up for it. But again, those people that were getting little or no subsidy had to pay the full freight for that increase.
That so was we did see a lot increase. Of sticker shock.
Oh, yes.
What about this year?
This year, very moderate increase, about under 2% on it for the average plan. So we saw pretty moderate increases from 14 to 17, that obviously huge bump in 18, and then back to a very moderate, I think maybe even the smallest increase we've seen on average going from 18 to 19.
What about the options people have this year when it comes to picking a health insurance plan? Because there have been some places in the state where you basically have a choice, one.
Right. So relative to a lot of other states, the Michigan marketplace is still pretty competitive. We have, I believe, 9 issuers this year, up from 8 last year. That's not as many as we had a few years ago when there were about, I think, 14 or 15 at its peak. But the ones that left tended to be the smaller players. The big players kind of stayed in. Now, there certainly are rural areas and areas in the UP where you might only have 2 issuers available, so the statewide picture doesn't necessarily apply to every locality. But there are some states that only have 1 issuer left statewide. So in that regard, you know, Michigan is still doing pretty well.
One of the changes this year, no more penalty.
Yes.
Talk about that.
So this is maybe one area where the experts might have kind of screwed up their predictions. They thought the penalty would be a lot more effective at getting people into the exchanges than it turned out to be. But then the flip side is removing the penalty probably isn't going to be that detrimental. In a sense, the insurers are betting that way. That under 2% increase in premiums, if they were anticipating that getting rid of the penalty was going to cause a lot of their healthier enrollees to say, now I no longer have to get this coverage, they'd be, you know, increasing 5, 6, 7% this year rather than under 2%. So I think the insurers themselves kind of realized, you know, the penalty turned out to be ineffective. But the flip side of that is removal of the penalty. That probably won't be that detrimental to offer.
And finally, Doctor, what do you see as the future of the Medicaid expansion, the future of Healthy Michigan?
So the big thing people are talking about in the future is the work requirement. So there are a number of states that have gotten work requirements in Medicaid. I think 4 of them have been approved by the federal government. And there are, I think, about 7 or so, including Michigan, that have applied. And the terms of the application say if this isn't approved or we can't negotiate some acceptable modification and get it approved, that it will sunset the program. Whether that threat occurs, you know, it's questionable. Are we really going to want to throw 700,000 people off insurance, and the federal government is paying 90% of the cost of that insurance? So it may end up being an empty threat. That said, if it is approved, some people will be exempt from the requirement. So not everybody on Healthy Michigan Medicaid expansion will necessarily face the requirement. But those that do potentially could lose their coverage for at least a period of time.
Dr. Richard Hirth, professor and chair of the Department of Health Management and Policy at the U of M School of Public Health, as we mark the 5-year anniversary of the rollout of the Affordable Care Act. And just a reminder again that the 2019 enrollment period runs until the 15th of December. Thanks so much, Doctor.
Glad to be here.